This is Ethan Winterovich, sales agronomist with CHS Ag Services at Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Melissa Hammer. And it's Harvest Hotline time. Harvest Hotline is brought to you by Amity Technology, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and the North Dakota Mill. Moisture is hard to come by for Justin Minard in the Madison, South Dakota area. Soybeans quickly dried with all of the warm, windy conditions lately.
Our soybean crop has been quite good. We have, you know, a handful of fields above average and a few where that dry July kind of hit them hard and they were a little subpar for what we would like to have seen. But as a whole, everything's been good so far and we're looking to start our corn harvest here shortly. Our expectations are pretty high. Hearing a few preliminary farmers in the area have taken some corn crops out and they're probably around 10 to 20 bushel per acre above APH. For our area, so we're quite hopeful for a good corn crop. It's just going to be a matter of the areas that got drowned out, you know, how that affects the whole yield for the field, but where the corn is actually growing and good, it should be quite well.
Harvesting soybeans was a bit of a challenge, but everything got harvested.
When we first started, you know, we had some green pockets in the fields where we had drowned out, so you would basically go through or we'd have to leave some green beans and then there'd be a patch of water hemp in the middle where everything was drowned out and nothing grew. And then you kind of go back into a green spot and then back to dry beans. So we had to kind of carve around some low areas and then, you know, we came back here probably 2 weeks later and then we were able to harvest them because things changed very drastically. I mean, we went from having kind of wet areas and then we got a handful of 80 degree days with strong winds and then now we're combining 8 to 9% beans and we can't find any moisture.
Stephen, Minnesota farmer Brett Halfman is optimistic about his sugar beet crop.
Things look good. The crop is nice. I'm hopeful when the first sugar samples come back, they're starting to creep upward. It is starting to get a little dry, which it dries okay, so we're not too upset about that, but we're not carrying a whole lot of dirt in the harvester, which maybe losing a little more than we'd like to see, but no, everything's going good. It's nice to finally get going on the sugar beets.
Warm temperatures in the forecast could cause a harvest shutdown.
We all kind of have come to understand that, you know, Crystal's one of the best at storing beets in. You know, they do things for a reason, and when we get the shutdowns, we understand why, and we understand why we got to be close to the toppers and everything. So we'll do everything we can to keep going, but you know, Mother Nature this year is it's just too warm. I think next week looks hot, and I feel for them having to make those calls, but they'll do what the weather allows, and we'll adjust.
Soybean harvest in the Castleton area is about half done, according to Hefty seed agronomist Jordan Swanson.
The soybeans are in full swing right now. A lot of them have been starting to be taken off here in the last week, which was probably getting closer to halfway done on soybeans. Yields are there. Even the moisture in the beans are surprisingly dry for how green some of the stems and leaves are still in the field. So guys have had to slow down just probably a little bit with the harvester for that point. I think everybody's pleasantly happy with the soybean yield so far.
Corn has been helped out by the September heat.
Just getting things finished. The heat in September really pushed things along, which was greatly needed, you know, helping a lot of these later maturities and later planted date corn fields getting black layered and start drying down. And the earlier the corn went in, I think we're going to see, you know, obviously better yields on that side versus some of the later planted corn.
Farmers in far northeastern North Dakota making good harvest progress. MR Consulting owner Mark Ramsey says harvest is going pretty well.
Dry beans obviously are all off. Turned out average. I mean, for not having any rain in July, like we needed to really send it over the edge. We got an average dry bean crop and everybody's pleased with it. Soybeans are probably within 2/3 to 3/4 done. So, yeah, I mean, for this time of year, everything has gone exceptionally well. So we had that one little hail stretch that came through that, about the 12th of June, set the soybeans back, but even they recovered quite nicely.
Sugar beet harvest is going full tilt.
You know, for a month ago, we were worried about it. You know, is it going to fail? Is it going to make it? Are we going to get enough heat units? did some hand checking the other day, and it's down to 21% moisture. So I think it's going to make it just fine.
Oahe Grain General Manager Tim Lucan says soybean harvest in the Oneida, South Dakota area is in full swing.
We don't take beans because I've got seven other commodities that I've taken. I just don't have the space for it. But bean harvest is in full swing. Yields on that I've been hearing anywhere in the mid low 40s to mid 40s. I think that's going to catch a lot of it. We have been taking in a little bit of new crop corn. Here a week ago, we had some 90-degree, 100-degree weather with high winds, and that was like a furnace. So this corn's coming in at 11 and 13.5, 14% moisture. So it's dry.
And Lucan says the Milo just starting to come in.
Yeah, there's a lot of Milo here. We took a load in yesterday. It was 18, so a little bit on the wet side. We will be drying Milo, like at 17 or less. Moisture there is at 14 with no discounts. So we've got a little bit of time on the Milo, but it'll be, I'm sure, next week for sure. We'll rock and roll on everything. Flowers, we'll probably be starting to take flowers here. We need a really hard freeze, but that's not even in the forecast. Flowers are ready to go also, but those acres are going to be down. So we got a lot of stuff to go through here in the next 2 months.
And that's Harvest Hotline, brought to you by the North Dakota Mill, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and Amity Technology.
An agreement between dock workers and shipping companies has ended the port strike for now. The International Longshoremen's Association and the U.S. Maritime Alliance agreed on a 62% pay increase and for workers to return to work this morning. The new January 15th deadline gives them a timeline to negotiate the remaining issues. Many national transportation leaders have commended the ability to come to a tentative agreement for the sake of commodity transportation. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Bismarck National Weather Service meteorologist Jason Anglin says much of the state should be on high alert for high winds this weekend.
We're going to have a breezy south wind developing today through this evening, and then at some point overnight tonight and through Saturday morning, a strong but generally dry cold front is going to push through, and so that'll turn those winds west to northwest, and we're looking at sustained winds 30 to 40 miles per hour and the gust of 50 to 60 and maybe even more miles per hour. Strongest winds right now kind of look to be in the Highway 2 corridor, but we could see those strong winds get almost all over the state with maybe not as strong in the southeast, but still, everywhere's going to be breezy to windy on Saturday.
Fire weather warnings have been issued for much of central and western North Dakota.
Currently, there is a fire weather watch out for much of western and south central North Dakota, and that is for the combination of the strong winds, but also with the dry conditions. We're going to have low relative humidities tomorrow, and you put that with the strong winds, any wildfires that start could be hard to suppress.
NDSU Extension Farm and Ranch Safety Coordinator Angie Johnson is urging farmers to be extra diligent in preventing fires.
If a combine fire were to take place, if your machinery catches fire, this wind situation that we're going to be experiencing is going to make it very difficult for that fire to be put out quickly. The wind is going to increase the flames and make that fire move rapidly through the machine. And so we've got to make a tough decision. Maybe we decide to shut down for the day to possibly prevent a fire to start with. Or if we do need to make that decision where we decide to keep combining during those high wind conditions, we really need to be diligent about how often we're stopping to perform maintenance.
And while Johnson does not expect everyone to take a day off, she urges farmers to keep an eye on the potential risks of starting a fire.
Bearings are a huge cause of combine fires, so if a bearing goes out, they rub and can quickly cause a spark, and with all the extra chaff, dust, crop residue that accumulates on a combine, there's a lot of fuel source to catch fire, and so monitor those bearing temperatures using an infrared thermometer throughout the day when you're harvesting. Take an air compressor and blow off all of that extra chaff, crop residue, dust, to get that material off. Safety first. There is no amount of crop out there that's worth losing a life or losing property over. So just take time for yourself, slow down, and make really good decisions.
RCAF USA is continuing to push back against the mandate requiring adult cattle that cross state lines to be identified with electronic identification tags. RCAF CEO Bill Bullard says the current identification system is successful in livestock traceability.
In the western states, we have a permanent identification system called a hot iron brand, and we have many producers who are participating in branded type beef programs that are voluntarily using these RFID ear tags, and we have producers that are continuing to Bangs vaccinate their animals and to include metal ear clips in their ears. So these animals are identified now, so we have the ability to achieve disease traceback. Producers pretty much agreed with the 2013 rule that said, yes, we will identify our animals that cross state lines, but we will do so with the flexibility to choose what type of animal identification system to use.
Bullard says the only people that this mandate helps is the large meat packers and the ear tag companies.
We have a disease traceability system. The government says that it's been highly effective and it has been improved following the 2013 rule. So what they are doing now is not a requirement to achieve greater animal disease traceability, but instead what it is trying to help the multinational meat packers gain more export markets and to essentially provide profitability for multinational ear tag companies that stand to make tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, by providing these government-mandated tags to U.S. cattle producers.
Reuters News Service is reporting ADM's soybean crush plant in Des Moines, Iowa, will be shutting down for maintenance beginning mid-October and running through mid-November. The plant crushes around 5 million bushels per month and is the nation's third largest plant. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Ariana Schumacher. Ariana, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
So on the cover of Ag Week this week, we introduce you to Justin Minert, who is a third-generation farmer in Lake County, South Dakota. Justin's always dreamed of being a farmer ever since he was a little kid, but that was a dream that he thought was taken away from him at one point. In July of 2020, him and his dad, Kevin, were helping out with a motocross race. When Justin was clearing off the track, making sure that everyone was off the track, he was in an accident when his bike went over a jump and hit a rain rut, and it left him paralyzed from the legs down. And throughout all of his recovery, he wasn't sure he'd be back to farming, but his goal was to get back in time for harvest, and that was something that he worked towards. And now he's back on the farm full-time doing what he loves to do. We talk a little bit about some of the adjustments that Justin's made to some of his farm equipment, his lift chair that he uses to get up into the equipment, and some of the adjustments that he's made personally to some of the equipment just to make it accessible and to be able to drive it by hand. This year, Justin was awarded the Governor's Award for Outstanding Individual with a Disability. And so we talked a little bit about that, what that's like for him to be awarded on a state level stage, and just what he's hoping to accomplish by sharing his story and how he's inspiring others who might be in the same or similar situation as him. So it's just a great story, great inspiring story to introduce you to a farmer who's just overcome so much in his life.
Sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
December wheat Minneapolis down 9 1/4 cents, 6:37 even. December wheat Chicago 16 1/4 pennies lower to 5.87 1/4. Kansas City's December hard red winter wheat's down 15 cents, 5.96 1/2. November soybeans down 9 cents, 10.36 3/4. In Winnipeg, November canola's up 20 cents per metric ton, now down 30 cents per metric ton to 6.21.60 Canadian. October live cattle up $1.05, 187.05. October feeders up 67 cents to 249.65. October lean hogs down 32 cents, 83.85. Have a great weekend. This is the Red River Farm Network.